Hi and welcome to the CDC podcast. In this edition, we're looking at why it's beneficial to everyone to support people and small businesses working in supply chains. Now, a lot of the products and services you see around you will often have gone through quite a vast global supply chain before reaching you at the end point. And often this involves people and businesses in developing countries all around the world. And I think it'd be fair to say that most people listening would agree that everyone involved in putting that product or service together should get a fair deal for what they've done. Having said that, it can be difficult to understand exactly what that deal should look like. So in this podcast, we try to make sense of it all. We look at everyone in supply chains and assess how they can be treated in a way that's beneficial to both the business they're supplying and to themselves. Later on, we'll look at small businesses who supply large multinationals.
Globally, we have approximately 1.5 million direct buying or selling relationships with small enterprises.
But first, let's look at the individuals working in the supply chain. Often we hear about the importance of creating quality jobs, but what exactly does a quality job mean? Well, here's Peter McAllister, the Executive Director of the Ethical Trading Initiative, to explain.
What we're looking for is supply chains where workers, whatever point they are in that supply chain, are able to enjoy their workplace, they report, that they're listened to, that they're paid on time, they're treated well, but also that they're productive and efficient, and from the employer's point of view, that relationship is mutually valuable.
And Peter, why is improving job quality good for business as well as good for the individual?
I think the first thing to start off and say is we still see far too many jobs where people are not paid their salary properly or they're discriminated against and misadvised of things like modern slavery. So the first thing to do is that in a business whose license to operate is operating above the law. You would have seen in recent weeks we've had scandals even in the UK and the impact on share price when a company and doesn't even respect the basic law is very significant. Then, if you like, above that line, there's just evidence from a whole range of sectors. If you have good industrial relations, you have good quality jobs, you have better retention of workers, you are able to develop their skills, they're able to develop commitment, you have improvements in quality, reduction in health and safety incidents, and so on and so forth. So does it mean it's always perfect? No, of course it doesn't. But we hear from time after time, once you get those relationships working well, managers are able to solve problems, they have a better interaction. Sometimes you can get a different level of quality and creativity coming out of improved relations.
And the Ethical Trading Initiative, are you generally seeing improvements in the job quality throughout supply chains?
Yes, we are. But unfortunately, we're also at the same time buffeted by economic change and changing in working circumstances. So although we do see improvements, and that's a good thing, what we're tending to find now is the more ingrained issue. And if you like, it's more challenging for companies if they're asked to address issues which might be three or four levels down in their supply chain. They have to start working collaboratively rather than directly with their individual supplier. So it's a mixed bag. We see progress, which is great, and it encourages us, but we know there's a lot more to do.
Ritu Kumar is the Director of Environmental and Social Responsibility at CDC. She works with companies in a variety of sectors to ensure people working in supply chains have quality jobs. Firstly, can you just explain to us a bit about what CDC does in terms of ensuring people in supply chains have quality jobs?
CDC's mandate is to create jobs in the most difficult places in the world, and what we try and do is that in addition to creating these jobs, we also want to make sure that the jobs are quality jobs and that they provide the workers, especially in supply chains, with fair wages, with reasonable working hours, with proper overtime payments, basic and guaranteed employee rights.
And are there any examples of any particular companies you've worked with to ensure that these things you talk about happen?
So one good example is an online retailer in India that we invested in. We worked with the company to get them signed up to the Ethical Trading Initiative and to adopt and implement a code of conduct for the suppliers in their supply chain in order to protect the rights of the workers in the supply chain. So our attempt has been that, wherever it's appropriate and wherever it makes sense, where the supply chains are quite complex, we are encouraging those sort of companies to adopt a similar code, and we've been successful in doing this with a large group called the Global Fashion Group, which is now implementing, has become a member of the ETI and is implementing the code in four of its companies across different countries in the world.
What is the lasting impact of implementing measures like these?
So we believe that better working conditions, a happier workforce will be beneficial to the company as well. So it will increase productivity of the workers, it will reduce absenteeism, it'll lower the rates of attrition, and also reduce reputational risk for the company. So, in the end, it's going to benefit the business as well as the workers.
So Ritu and Peter have spoken about how people working in supply chains can be treated fairly. But what about the small enterprises who are involved in supplying companies as well? SAB Miller, the multinational drinks business, have several measures in place to support the small businesses and entrepreneurs who are part of the value chains that supply them. Pamela Corns is their Enterprise and Livelihood Sustainability Manager.
Globally, we have approximately 1.5 million direct buying or selling relationships with small enterprises. And we know that the long-term growth of our and success of our business is dependent on the ability of these small enterprises to also be successful and for them to grow and prosper with us, whether they be retailers, small-scale farmers, suppliers, or distributors. And through our Prosper strategy, we've made a commitment to support over 500,000 small enterprises.
Generally speaking, what are the kind of the good approaches that people can take to supporting smaller enterprises in value chains?
Yeah, so I think really understanding the needs and challenges that small enterprises face is critical. It's important to recognise that it's not a single homogeneous group and there's no one-size-fits-all solution, and any initiatives or interventions put in place really need to consider this. I think, secondly, understanding and responding to the broad range of needs that small enterprises face will also have a much greater impact. Solutions need to be quite holistic in nature and really account for how interconnected the challenges are that small enterprises face. And lastly, I think the role of partnerships is key. It's really only by working collaboratively, both within and across the private sector, and also with governments and civil society organisations, will small enterprises in value chains really be able to thrive and reach their potential and really create the much needed employment and livelihood opportunities.
And that's about all we have time for on this podcast. Hopefully it's given you a good idea of what it means to have a quality job and the different approaches to ensuring everyone up and down the supply chain gets a fair deal. We'll be back again very soon with another podcast, but in the meantime, if you want any more information on anything we've discussed in this podcast, please do go to our website, cdcgroup.com.